Welcome to the Beyond Yoga Teacher Training Podcast, the podcast for yoga teachers to learn tips, techniques, and teaching approaches in order to build confidence and success teaching yoga. I am your host, Sandy Raper, and on this podcast, I am going to share with you my strategies and approach to teaching, along with stories from many teaching experiences that have supported me within a thriving teaching career for over two decades. In celebration of the recent debut of my first book, Teaching from the Heart, Lessons on Developing Character, Confidence, and Leadership as a Yoga Teacher, I'm excited to share with you a collection of special guest episodes. Be sure to click the follow button so that you are alerted and aware of these special episode releases. Now, thank you for joining me for the celebration. Let's dive in to today's special guest episode. Steen, welcome to the Beyond Yoga Teacher Training Podcast. I'm excited that you are here with me remotely on this episode, and welcome. And we're just going to dive in, right? I want you, Austin, to share with us your kind of where you are in your teaching journey, what's led to this moment in time. And when it comes to teaching, what's that mean to you?
Thank you, Sandy. I'm really happy to be here. I'm just excited to share my story, and it might be helpful to teachers and instructors around, right around the world, around the U.S. And so it's just an honor to be able to share this story because it's a long, very up and down story, as all, you know, the process of being a yoga teacher is. And I will be completely honest. I was practicing yoga since I was 14. And then going into college, I right off the bat wanted to become a yoga teacher. And it was not a true heart-centered intent. It had a lot of ego in it when I, like, my intentional drive to become a yoga teacher, which I don't know, that may be common, it may not be common, but I was really fascinated with a lot of the physical asanas and wanting to show that and learn how to do that in my body. And so initially that was my why. And it's funny you ask this question because this is something I regularly check in with myself on. You know, I've learned that my why changes as I discover more of my dharma and I unearth more things about myself. Like, it's always changing, or like I'm peeling back another layer of it. Mm-hmm. I'm refining it, it feels like. But the general thread of why I teach now is my intent is to guide people back to their bodies, back to themselves, to be in relationship with themselves, and to slowly move towards embodiment in a safe and loving way, and to practice being with all aspects of ourselves. And so that is what I hold space for now. And it's radically different than why I initially came into yoga. And I don't know if I've ever shared that with anybody. Just, you know, when I came in, it was a lot of ego that surrounded that drive. But I'm honestly okay with that because it brought me right here. And I've spent my time like being okay with that's what led me here.
Yeah. Well, I love that there's the evolving piece, a learning piece in that, and discovery. So it makes sense that the why would evolve because we're in different places, or hopefully we are moving along and evolving in our understanding of ourselves. Now, I love and I want to kind of expand. You mentioned the word relationship. And I think sometimes, right, there's very obviously all kinds of facets of relationships when it comes to the practice of yoga. And we've got the student-teacher relationships and the relationships we have with other teachers and all those kind of interpersonal relationships. But I want to camp out on this relationship that we as individuals, when we embark on the journey and practice of yoga, it is a relationship with the practice that we're having. And it's how we go about that relationship, how we engage and develop in that relationship that I think is a piece that adds to our ability to evolve and move and understand more clearly, peel back those layers that maybe clouded or covered up the understanding of what the why is driving. And yes, the ego is a part of who we are, right? So, you know, to think as, you know, yoga teachers, like we are not affected by ego at all. And to understand, and I love you talked about the asana driven piece. When I think about the practice, especially the Western approach to practice and how many of us are coming to the practice. And me personally, I came through a gym experience in a class. It was very physical, and asana gets our attention. So, you know, or it did mine. And it was unlike anything I'd ever done, you know, physically. And then as I pursued in a curiosity, all these other aspects of the practice, you know, kind of came alive in the relationship. So in the beginning, kind of, is anything coming, like when we think about the relationship, so your relationship to yoga, you started at 14. Wow. You know, and I often think, gosh, I wish I had come to that a little earlier, but I believe in the timing of things as well. And I believe the timing of how I came to know and began the relationship, you know, it happens as it should. So from the physical relationship, how have you seen your personal relationship? Maybe let's like step back first now to being a student of the practice before, you know, you jumped into the teacher aspect, because the student part needs to be first, right? That continues to drive our evolving into being teachers. So how's your relationship as a student of the practice evolved, which ultimately is going to spill over into our abilities and effectiveness as teachers?
I definitely, a lot of things just came up when you were talking. Many like little glimpses of the journey and the process. And so I have a life coach that I've been working with, and she's been really helpful with this. And hers is her phrase is everything is relationship. And I just really have been taking that to heart. And so my relationship with my practice, I never treated it like that at first. I treated it as not something that I had a relationship with, but more of, this is something I do, and this is something that I'm going to execute, and this is something that will always be the way I want it to be because I'm going to be executing it. And so I have learned, you know, through this time that that's not the case and that it does change and evolve. I mean, when I was a student, it was I came in very physical and asana based. I didn't really pay attention to some of the other aspects of it. And as I grew my practice and practiced more, and different teachers come in and give glimpses of the other aspects of yoga, all the other limbs, then my relationship with the practice grew. But initially, like I did not treat it as that. And that's just how it was. And I'm really thankful for all the teachers that came in and me being student that we're able to shed these different lights. All these teachers and all these yoga teachers have different gifts. And I just had many gifts bestowed upon me as I went to different teachers. You know, I follow many different teachers. I think everyone has a certain perspective and experience on life that they are then to offer their students. And so I am really grateful for those. So the process of moving from student to teacher, I really stepped into teacher. So wasn't student, went through my yoga teacher training, actually initially like went into asana or yoga with ego, wanting to do the shapes, you know, whether we call it ego, you know, I wanted to do the shapes and I wanted to show people that I could do the shapes. So whatever you want to call that, right? Mm-hmm. And I went into my yoga teacher training, just the intent of doing this for myself and learning these physical asanas. And I didn't even want to be a yoga teacher. And so, and I'm sure you've heard this story before. And so then at the end of the YTT, I wanted to be a yoga teacher. I felt like I had something to share and a space to hold for people. And so then I became teacher. And then once I became teacher, I really stepped into teacher and I stopped being student. And so I just saw this like up and down with my whole journey through yoga. And so came into teacher, had to really unravel and learn and discern. I love, you use discern a lot, and I love that word, how to be a teacher while simultaneously being a student. Like, it can be a really hard balance, and how to step out of teacher mode versus student mode, and how to, you know, be a leader and also, you know, be a follower in some ways. And so that journey in itself was all encompassing in how, and it changed how I was in relationship with my practice. Now my practice is less about what I'm actually doing in the practice, and it's more about how I'm being and how I'm feeling and how I'm listening and being in relationship with not necessarily the practice itself, but me as a person and in my body and in my heart and in my soul. Like, that's what I'm relating with, why I'm practicing. So for me, my yoga can be anything. And so that's kind of how my relationship has changed from being very, you know, physical, doing, demanding, executing this thing versus just being and feeling no matter what I'm doing. So I feel as if I'm practicing yoga a lot all the time. I mean, all the time, right? I mean, there's so many other aspects of besides the physical getting on your mat piece of yoga. But that's a little bit more of the journey.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And I picked up on so many things that were just little gems of understanding and the importance, really, kind of going back to, and I, you know, I would ask you this, like, how important, and the answer is going to be very, but how important is it that as a teacher of the practice that we step in to support students and understanding how to be students of the practice in inquiry, in discovery, and diving deep, meeting them where they are. Like, I'm a huge, that's kind of a huge why behind that supports what I do, is seeking to meet students where they are. And that the ones that are very asana driven, that is not a bad thing, right? That is where they are. And so how then, though, do I support that while also the nuance and the holding of the space, the language I use as I cue or lead the yoga class experience, how does that support them in developing a deeper relationship or understanding of the layers that are available, but not taking on or projecting my experience, but equipping with independence to discover that, and I just have an environment for that. And I think it's a beautiful environment because it can have just all these varying people in different places, but yet they're collectively together in something that's much bigger going on. So, you know, you mentioned that you have had teachers in your life and you have, I think there's a willingness. You were willing, right, to immerse yourself in different spaces or understanding different styles or approaches or receiving of insight from others to help you in your discernment and your excavation and your putting together, instead of it being that this is the one way, this is that way. And ultimately, what I heard is you were, that equipped you. So it becomes like, how important is this now as a teacher and in the role of teacher to support that space for others? And I don't know if anything came to mind with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's you've always been so intentional with that, and the language and the cueing that you do and your sequencing. Like, you speak to having a plan and a purpose for people's time. And that's always resonated with me. But yes, it's difficult. I always say being a yoga teacher is really hard, because not only are you leading them through, you know, physical movement or meditation, you're guiding them, but you're also every word, every sentence, every cue and intent and energy and how you show up, that's all part of the practice. And so you as a yoga teacher are so impactful on your students in those ways. And I really think that it can be really difficult. It can feel like a lot of pressure, right? But if you take the time to be a student and to unearth your own self, I think those things start to show up naturally, and it can feel like less pressure when a yoga teacher shows up. Because, you know, I watch students go through yoga teacher trainings, and their biggest teachers, I say future teachers, go through yoga teacher trainings. Mm-hmm. And I see them get so nervous about doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. And we do this exercise where we come back to our why, and we do the why 5 times. You know, why do you want to be a yoga teacher? I want to help others move better. Well, why do you want to help others move better? And you just keep going down till you try to get to the very bottom, right? I'm sure you're familiar with this exercise. And I just like come back to that yoga teacher, like come back to that initial why, because usually, and I would say it's been 100%, but I'm not going to say everyone's going to be this way. It's not even about them. Like their final why isn't about them. It's about their students. And so when you step on the mat to lead someone as a yoga teacher, come back to that, because it's not even about you, right? Take that pressure off you, right? It's about them.
Right.
And so that's just, you know, there's a lot to what we're saying here, right? There's a lot of like little ways that wisdom and that we could lanes that we could go down. But I just wanted to speak to that and speak to the pressure that you can feel as a yoga teacher. And people are just thankful to be in a space that they're cared about. And so, yes, be on purpose, be intentional, be prepared, and have a purpose and a plan for someone's time and energy and resources, right? They're gifting you that. Mm. And at the same time, hold that and like know your why and lean into your why, and it's going to be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So I hear a lot, and it's going to be kind of comical, because isn't this yoga? It's all about balance, right? So we're balancing, yeah, right? Our student teacher, right? Being a student teacher, like, you know, when I get on the mat or when I'm in a setting, I do a lot of home practice, but when I go venture out and I'm in classes, it's kind of like, all right, Sandy, be the student, mm-hmm, be the student, turn the teacher brain out, be the student, you know? And so it's kind of this really thing of letting go. And when I cannot remember the things that are the teaching things or the skill set or the whatever is going on, it's like, yeah, okay, I was really able to kind of lean more into the student aspect, but the balance, right? So it is work, and it's not something to go on autopilot on. I mean, you can, mm-hmm, you can go through the motions just like anything in life. But it becomes that intentional, like, is that how I want to show up for this? And the discernment of knowing when, as teacher, you are too much heavily in the teacher role and the student aspect is diminished. And that's an ongoing thing. Like that, and if I'm going to say, like, you're never going to get that right, so to speak, or in balance, but you'll feel it. I feel it in myself when I'm teaching way too much. Mm-hmm. And out of balance, the scale's out of balance of my student role and aspect and relationship. And I think we can get to a point and kind of set it up intentionally and set some really keystone habits to keep that as close to being in balance as we can. And sometimes we just have to step back and kind of take a sabbatical away from teaching if we're able to really refuel to do that. So I'm hearing a lot, you know, we talk about relationships. I mean, think about like all relationships interpersonally, there's a balance, there's giving and receiving and kind of understanding when you know, we're giving, but we're not receiving, or our cups are overflowing and there's nothing else to fill it. You know, there's no room to fill it. And then I love that at the end of the day, it's not about you, yoga teacher. You know, hopefully can we cultivate a presence, a step into a space and hold it well, because it's a known experience, right? Mm-hmm. We teach from what we know, but then ultimately we fade into the background. And the bigger work, right? The bigger coming together, right? It's kind of just beautiful to bear witness to, because we've faded. So I love the balance comes in, which is always, you know, funny to talk about in yoga, because yes, you know, balance, we think about that, but balancing these relationships. Now, you're an entrepreneur. You're a yoga teacher, you're a studio owner, massage therapist. I mean, layers of things that you do have relationships interpersonally with, managing a teaching staff and You know, I'll get to this in a moment. You and I have worked together in a mentorship relationship, but, you know, and some of that was the work that we did together. And not only were we relating with our personal journey and our understanding of yoga as student, as teacher and supporting, and like you said, all the energetic layers and the, what we come into to hold that space. But also now, right, you then have this other facet. And I just wanted to ask you kind of how that's been for you in all those components, entrepreneur, studio owner, community, really advocate out in your community, sharing and creating a space for your community. What have been some obstacles? And then also kind of where have you come into a space of thriving as that in your community?
So I just want to touch base really quickly. It's been a wild ride, I'm not going to lie. So I'm in a somewhat teaching sabbatical right now. So I just want to give permission to teachers in general. Like, you're listening to me. I've closed down a yoga studio. I'm healing from it.
Okay.
And I am taking a sabbatical. I pop up every now and then. But this year I'm really focusing on my own my own practice and filling back up. Like, there was so much in that student to teacher, how they fill each other up and how, you know, it's hard to be an authentic teacher without an authentic practice, because you do teach from the knowing. So I just wanted to share those things, because those hit home.
And you did.
It's hard to, when you told me a couple of years ago to take a, you know, offer taking a sabbatical, and I was like, I was laughing about it. So like, I, that feels so impossible, but it is so empowering. So yoga teacher, you're allowed to do that. As an entrepreneur, I think I'd like to start firstly with that I knew nothing about business. So that was one of the biggest obstacles. I have my master's in athletic training, bachelor's in exercise science, a massage therapist. I didn't take business classes in high school. Like, I knew nothing. So learning business and like getting some grit to go on YouTube University or to Google like things and reach out to people in the community and ask questions. And like, yeah, I own this business, but I don't know what a cash flow balance sheet is. So can you help me, you know, things like that. So that was a huge obstacle, and I'm still learning. It's so layered. Business is so layered. And one of the biggest things that has helped me with the business piece is finding a business mentor. And luckily, he's my landlord, and he's just incredible. So I'm really thankful for him. I can just pop over and be like, hey, I have a question, sir. Another obstacle I had was unraveling my thought process around my beliefs around making money in general, and then also making money around something that felt like my soul-centered service. That was, and it still is there a little bit. I can feel it. It sneaks up every now and then. But this feeling that I should be giving it away, or that it's not right of me to charge for yoga and massage and the things I'm really good at, the things that feel easy to me, right? And so, like, to make money, you always had to work hard. So I've had to unravel that belief around allowing myself and permission to, just because it comes easy and it's natural, that means I'm in the right space. But that does not mean that I'm not worthy of making a livelihood and an income. So that was a big obstacle that I've had to move through. Another thing is being in charge of and responsible for other people and their livelihood. Oh, that has been so incredibly hard, because you care deeply. You want them to be successful. And at the same time, you have to steward this business and make decisions that that affect them, whether in a good or bad way. And so building that backbone of stewardship was a big obstacle for me, you know. And I also learned that it's okay to be choosy about who represents my business. I learned that from you, because, you know, I first believed that everyone had a gift, whether they're a teacher, massage therapist, and that they are welcome to come work for me, because everyone's got a gift. And that is true. And that doesn't mean it aligns with my business core beliefs and philosophy. So, like, that was a big thing. And I learned that from you, Sandy, and I so appreciate that. And I have more. Do you want me to? I have two more, but
yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Okay. I also had the obstacle of knowing when to let go and particularly closing down my studio. I closed down my yoga studio in December of 23, the brick and mortar piece of it. I had two locations open in a small town, and location, 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 right? And the population and the specific and the niche of yoga wasn't going to last and fit. And so financially, I had to make a decision. So I learned a big lesson from that. If I'm ever to open up a brick and mortar yoga studio again, I will definitely have a ton of wisdom and experience going into to opening something. So that was huge. I'm still healing from that, right? Because I had this big dream of, I desired seven studios, you know, across the USA, each representing a different chakra. And this first one I painted red. It was the root chakra. It's like the first, the foundational. I had this big dream about it. And so learning even to let go of that dream, you know, pruning away, letting go of the good things so even greater things can come into place and be, like, that was such a deep space to learn from. And so I'm really still healing from that, and that's okay. And so right now I'm teaching yoga, like, online and at different studios. So I don't have my own brick and mortar, and it feels really good right now. And so, you know, yoga offerings can look like a lot of different things. And so I just want everyone to, you know, give permission. They don't have to go open a studio. They can offer their gifts in different ways. And then the last thing I had was just being able to have hard conversations with people around my business and personal, and having hard conversation with myself, you know, with myself. And so that practice stemmed from first becoming in deep relationship with myself through my practice and through investing in myself and talking and just having, like, one-on-ones in the mirror, like, hey girl, what's going on? Like, I hear you, I see you, I'm with you right now. And then that then echoed into my life about in a way that allowed me to be with others and have hard, difficult conversations. And those difficult conversations have changed my life, especially around my business. So those are some of the obstacles along this journey, and hopefully people resonate with them and they can see that they're not alone.
Yeah. So would you say in particular piece and journey, you know, the yoga studio and leading up to December and the closing of the door, so to speak, on the brick and mortar, that kind of physical location, in those obstacles, the balance, again, coming back to that, of what you would consider you gleaned as thriving, like what really, because there had to be, right, an essence of something in there thriving that continued to spur you on. Yeah. To ultimately get to the decision you made, which helps you, I think, the thriving and the balance for the discerning of all the facets. So yes, definitely those obstacles that I feel certain many are resonating with. But also in that, is there anything that stands out that in that, even the obstacles and seasons of obstacles, you know, where did you feel you thrived that really has kind of brought you to a space now? Is there anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny you asked me. I'm now remembering that you asked me about thriving. And yes, I, even though I had all those obstacles, I still felt like I was thriving. It's it's interesting to hold both, that like I had never been happier. I had ups and downs, right? The general thread of life felt like, you know, going up, I kind of almost feel like going down, like not down in a bad way, but down in, like, deeper, like it was getting deeper and more present. And, but also like going up. And so, like, thriving, I mean, I was taking care of myself. And there were pieces of my life that were being very dampened because of the stress and the heaviness of the decision coming and the choice I had to make. But as I was discerning, I was getting closer and closer to this space of knowing and dharma and just this idea of, like, cleaning the edges. And so that peace is what kept me going in this like thrive mode. Like I don't feel like I failed. And I hope mm-hmm. others don't feel like they failed if they had to close down a space. Like it's really hard. And I just felt like it was a closing of a chapter that needed to happen. And so my yoga practice and how I was showing up for people and how I was showing up for myself all were, you know, moving up and down. So like it was moving deeper. And it was also like in this space of like when we imagine thriving, going up.
Expansion. Yeah.
Expanding. That's a great word. And so leading me to where I am now, like that had to close because right now I'm in the exact space that like I imagined myself to be. Nice. And I couldn't have done that without unfortunately closing, you know, the studio and closing that chapter, right? We tend to leave these doors open sometimes just for keep it unlocked because we want to like maybe peek back in there. But that space still holds energy in our life. And I really needed to come to a close so I could prune and clean. And then now I had all this space for this thrivingness that was building this energy, this intent and dharma that was coming to be as I was moving through that. And I'm now able to be in it. And it's taking up, you know, space that my brick and mortar would not, they would have been competing.
Right.
Right.
I love that. One of my teachers shared a long time ago, and I come back to it and think of it often of, we hear the concept of like when one door, you know, closes, another opens, but don't get stuck in the hallway. You know, there's a hallway in between those doors. And that's what happens sometimes is maybe you can think of like 1 foot in, 1 foot out, you know, but how long are you going to linger in the hallway? And I love that you brought up, I mean, some things for the rebirth or the expansion to become available. Sometimes it's got to have a distinct, like, there's got to be, the door's got to close. And it's scary, but it's also can be that space of thriving, of stepping into what really has done all those obstacles, all those things were leading for such a time as this. So I appreciate you sharing that. And there's a few things that I don't want to miss that you've given graciously to those who are listening, of giving yourself permission, right, to make the decisions, to give yourself the space, the time. And that kind of leads me into, Austin, I feel like we go through teacher trainings. We have this, I hope that you have this wonderful kind of collective journey and experience with some like-minded people that come together, and you're kind of in it together and you're building this thing, and then it ends, right? It you complete the training, you get your certificate, and then you're out there, and then it becomes like, okay, now how do I do this thing? Because as we've already discussed, I mean, it's work. It's a worthy endeavor, but you got to work at it, right? You got to be about it. You got to be in action of it.
I love that. Be about it.
Elements, yeah. You got to do it. Got to do the work. A lot of work, right? We got to do the work for ourselves to be able to step in and hold a space for, you know, others, and understand that and find the balance we've already talked about. But I think about, there's an element of loneliness that can show up. And teachers get out there, and that's kind of what drives me in this season of my pathway of a couple years ago, trying to figure out like, what do I do? I mean, I have like 2 decades worth of tea. Like, what do I do with this? Like, what now? You know, what has led me to this? And so I kind of want to step into, we're coming back into relationships again, and you and I encountered each other through a mentorship relationship. And I wanted you to kind of speak to that, because I have mentor. It's a huge piece of my ability to tell you today that I still teach is based upon having had and still have mentors in my life. And varying facets. And then in particular, as a yoga teacher, having a resource, having somebody to go to, and you tapped into it, of being willing to reach out, right, to initiate or seek out that relationship, then trying to figure it all out for yourself. Because I am grateful, beyond grateful, for the mentors I've had in my life, for the ones that are still there, that are moving along with me, that are open to conversations with me, that I know have they have my best interest at heart. They want to, you know, support me in a way they've been supported. And it pulls away from us in any kind of like, we're not in competition with each other out here doing this work because we're all unique doing it. So nobody can teach like me. No one can teach like you. And it's a beautiful gift to step into and permission to be yourself doing that. But also to know there's relationships out there to be had mentoring wise of some people that may have been a little farther along on the journey, or you see that they're kind of doing some things that like you're curious and passionate about, and the willingness to seek that out. So let's kind of go in that direction and maybe tap into our relationship and how that evolved and came about. And if there's anything specific, you've mentioned a couple of things that I'm glad that they were valuable to you and have supported you. And if there's anything like specific that has since our time together supported you and maybe continues to support you even now in what you're pursuing.
Yeah. So like you said, yoga teacher trainings, it's an amazing experience, but there's so much to teach in the 200 hour. And you take it in, depending on whether it's an immersion or a few weeks, like it settles in superficially. It takes years for that to deeply ingrain. And you don't have that support anymore stepping out of the YTT. So mentorships are key. They're key to your confidence and even elevating your teaching practice. And so, I mean, Sandy, your mentorship came to me at a time when I was starving for guidance and permission to be a leader. And I was searching podcasts. Honestly, I found you through your podcast. So this is really full circle. Yeah. And I was getting ready to teach a 200-hour YTT. And I found your podcast and I was like, oh my gosh. It was five keys for effective leadership.
For a successful yoga teacher training. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I found. And it was just those five keys. I was like, I got this. I'm ready to roll. Like, it's exactly what I needed. So from there, I was like this. And I listened to a few more podcasts and I said, I need to reach out to this woman. Like, she's already affecting me in my life. Like, I can't imagine what we would do one-on-one. And so I had never had an official mentorship before. You're my first mentor. And it's been the best investment that I could give myself in a business. It is an investment, right? It costs money, but people are afraid they're not going to get a return on investment with mentorships and things like this because it's time and there's not like a physical thing that they're getting. You're getting something way bigger and deeper when you get a mentorship. The return on investment is tenfold. And so having a soundboard, you know, of wisdom and experience, you can't put a price tag on it because you've experienced it. It's not something that you can go back and get, right? Mm-hmm. It's only from you. So you speaking it to me is like once in a lifetime experience, another side of the perspective and coin that I'll never receive unless I invest in my time with you. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say that, yes, that's how I found you. And I'm so grateful for my mentorship. And one of the biggest takeaways that still sits with me today, besides the others, I mean, I've mentioned a few already, but this one as well, is that I was not running my business. The thoughts and opinions of others were leading my business. And you gave me so much power to step up and own what was happening inside of my business and myself. And I needed that desperately. You gave me confidence that I could do that. That like, this is mine. This is my baby. I'm allowed to be choosy about it. And I'm allowed to take ownership of what's happening inside of it and outside of it and how we interact with the public. Like that's allowed for me to do that. Yeah. This is like my baby. You told me that. It's like your baby. It's like your business baby. And so you're just a huge support and cheerleader. And it's to have a cheerleader, someone who doesn't know you well, like personally, is really different than having like a best friend or inner friendship cheerleader. It's way different. Mm-hmm. It feels more potent. Because they don't, you don't have to say nice things to me. You know what I mean? There's this relationship, you know, at least this mentorship will come to a close, right? And so you say the things that need to be said. And I needed that and I appreciate it. So thank you, Sandy.
Oh, you're welcome. And it was an honor and pleasure to work with you and to really have, you know, we had a longevity together of and keeping up and getting into some things and then catching back up to see how things were going. So, well, like, you know, it wasn't like a one and done time that we met, but it was like we were able to.
We stayed in relationship together.
Yeah, follow up and see how those things, because it's one thing to give the insight, the wisdom and to give the things, but then there's that application piece and you kind of tapped into it. And it's what happens with YTT and can be a little disillusioned that you're going to roll out and instantly there's, I don't know, that you manifest this embodiment of a yoga teacher. You know, it just doesn't happen that way. That's too easy, right? Probably would mean far less if that's, you know, and if it happened that way and it's, you know, it's not this sprint towards this end finish line. Like it's I'm going to commit to this marathon, and which means I've got to condition myself to be ready to run that race. And mentorship's a huge piece in it because there are moments, and I'm sure you can relate, where you're just like, why am I doing this? And should I still be doing this? And I've had those conversations. And I love to, I'm going to come back to the why again. And I'm kind of known when I lead teacher trainings too. And I'm finishing up one that I helped co-lead. And I kind of became the teacher that's, oh, we know you're the why. Because, you know, it was like, I'm just going to always, I don't know, challenge you, right? Like, why is this, you know, then to be in a setting that we get rote or we just do the thing, and we don't really understand why we're doing it. And then when it comes to teaching, how do I facilitate an experience that offers the same inquiry to students of understanding when they get on the mat, like, why are we doing this thing? And I love that you said now your practice is more, it's kind of less about doing the thing. It's kind of like, how am I being about, you know, this is a facet, but it's the living it out, right? The living your yoga wherever you are and whatever you're doing, that's the yoga, the residue of all the facets that led to this point of the why and coming back to that. And so yoga teachers understanding coming out of training, it's a start point, you know, and an absorption. And then you get to a point, and I don't know about you, but I'm into a point of kind of unlearning some things and being willing, right, to be an inquiry of, yeah, maybe I'm not going to do that or go about that, or I've learned and I've uncovered. So the little pieces have evolved and changed, which is beautiful about it, because ultimately I believe it's not about the arrival at some, you know, it's just the ongoing journey and how I'm going to be getting there. So let's come back, Austin, as we kind of wrap this conversation up. I love it. We're going to come back to the why, right? And your why in the beginning, we've talked about it and you've talked about it and gave great insight and wisdom into this isn't a once and done inquiry, right? This is a kind of check yourself occasionally or regularly as to why, you know, the why that's behind that. And so you've shared already a few things that have changed and evolved, but when you think about where you are now and the why that began, the why that supported you, and then ultimately the why that led you to some pretty probably tough decisions last year. And you're possibly in a grieving state right now,
for sure.
Which we think about grief sometimes in a way of the finality of physically with humanity, but also understanding grief shows up in ways and facets of our life of opportunities we've had or we, and, you know, we're about. And I think it all then comes to permanence too. We try, you know, and that's the plight of humanity, trying to keep everything permanent, which someone listening could be lingering in that space, in that hallway of trying to just keep the doors open and not sure what to do. So let's kind of wrap this up of coming to like the why now that's evolved to where you are now? And then, you know, what does Austin aspire, right? What is the desire and aspiration in the space you're in right now? You know, and it could be that's kind of you're kind of percolating with that, you know, and trying to figure those things out. But just kind of speak to that, like bringing the why into today, why Austin's doing what she's doing now and inspiring.
So I wanted to real quick.
Yeah.
Just say that when I decided to close in December, I knew what I wanted to share. I knew like what that was, why I wanted to still be out in the world teaching yoga, but I didn't know how that was going to look for me. And so that has taken about, you know, it sounds short, 4 to 6 weeks. But for me, I've always been a constant, like, I'm pretty fast. I don't know if you know human design, but I'm a manifesting generator. So I'm like, when I respond to something, I tend to work super quick. And so that was a long time for me. And I still in grieving, but like, yeah, if you're in the hallway and you don't know what's next, you're keeping those doors open because you don't know what's next. It is such a powerful place to be and a scary place to be, closing all the doors and just sitting for a moment and listening. Mm. And so that's what I did for those 4 to 6 weeks is I listened. I listened to what was happening inside of me. I listened to my little pulls that I was being like, maybe over here, maybe over here. And I just took space in between my thoughts and my actions in regards to really figuring out what I wanted to do next. So for me, just so you know, you can do that, friends, you can do that. You can pause, you can take a moment. And so, you know, my why right now, is the same. It's leading people to their bodies, teaching people how to be sovereign in themselves and to be able to trust what's happening, but also know the difference between the cycles and habits and the narratives that are in our head versus like our innate wisdom, right? Those are so easy to get confused. And so right now, that is my why's. I want to lead people and guide people into knowing the difference between those two so they can develop a sense of trust within themselves. And then that will then connect them to their bodies and which will then connect them to their lives, right? So that's my why now and how that's looking right now in this moment. I'm still kind of, I like percolating. I'm still kind of seeing exactly what the offerings are going to be like, but I'm aspiring to share my why in yoga retreats. I'm leading a retreat in the Virgin Islands coming up next March. It's incredible. I've been to the islands 4 times. So I'm familiar with the island and some of the locals. And so I'm really confident. I'm so excited to take people there. Mm. I think it'd be a beautiful place to do this work. And I want to create a brand that teaches people through, well, I have a brand, but I want to expand on it through group work, whether it's online or in person, you know, Zoom, immersions, of course, through movement. That's a modality that we use to develop this trust within and to learn the different pieces of ourselves and to learn how to be in relationship with it all. I want to help people build foundation in their life. And that is also through, you know, workshops and yoga practices and leadership immersions. And, you know, I just want to help people develop something they can lean into as they start to build the life that they want to. And so, you know, learning how to build these practices that are routine and structure, but they're also stable and fluid at the same time. Like, how do we do that? Like, that's what I want to help people bring to. I'm like the beginning. I'm the beginning of the life that you want. Like, I'm going to help you. I'm going to like be that springboard off, you know, I'm going to help you root down. So then, you know, we're going to develop these practices that we're going to keep you upright as you move forward, as life changes. Like, that's the place that I want to be in, like at the beginning with people. And so that's what I'm aspiring to do right now, to create. I'm doing that in a couple different ways. Right now, you know, I want to just be with people in that way. And I want to help them be with intentional with their resources and know what works for them and know what doesn't and just discover that sovereign peace because it's hard to grasp sometimes. with everything, all the external factors that are coming at you. And so essentially how to create an inner sanctuary, right, that they can come to. Nice. And so that's one of the big things that all of those things are things that my brand is about. And I'm in teaching and weaving into these different offerings. So all of that, and I'm doing that through body work because I'm a massage therapist, group work, individual sessions, movement practices, yoga retreats, possibly another YTT. We'll see. We'll see.
Nice. Well, I love that you shared that and it all ultimately, you know, connecting back to where we've talked about all these relational aspects of the yoga practice and the various facets. And, you know, trust is a huge piece when it comes to relationships and in whatever work we're doing. And if we're in the role of yoga teacher, that's something, you know, the trust you mentioned about time and management. I believe that's a huge factor in people trusting us is holding the space of time for them in the offerings and the endeavors we have. But trust is huge for relationships to be built, to be sustained and foundational for that. And it's always interesting and fascinating. And ultimately the relationship we have with ourselves and that excavation that can be very scary. And it sounds like you are working hard to cultivate a space that equips people with, you know, safety and exploring that so that trust can be developed and supported that carries out into their life and the relationship they have with life itself and others in their life. And that's huge. I'm excited to hear about that. And it sounds like there's some ways Thank that you. People can connect with you further. And I'm going to share that in the show notes so that others can connect, you know, and maybe even connect with you on your retreat and some offerings that you're sharing. And so, Austin, thank you so much for this time, this gift of time that you've given to me and to the listeners and of yourself and the work, the vulnerability, right? Teaching and being an individual. There's a lot of vulnerability and being willing to share your experience is huge. And I think that giving permission to people to share and be authentic and willing to make some decisions that are tough and hard, but being okay and just affirming people that they're not alone in that, because that can start to happen, the loneliness, the isolation. So that's why these kind of conversations, I feel like they're just so important in affirming, because I am a huge advocate for yoga. I'm a huge advocate for yoga teachers. You and I, we both know what that requires. So I often tell, and I would tell any yoga teacher listening, you know, I'm your biggest fan. And I'm going to continue to be that. And I know you are as well. But thank you so much for you being a part of this. It's been a pleasure. And I wish you well in the days ahead. And look forward to bearing witness to all that you're about. So thanks, Austin.
Thank you, Sandy. It's been such a pleasure. And I hope we're going to keep our relationship going for sure.
What another great guest episode in celebration of the debut of my first book, Teaching from the Heart. It was an honor and pleasure to spend time in conversation with my friend, yoga teacher, and mentee, Austin. Check out the show notes to see how you can connect with Austin further. And then also you'll find the link to go ahead and grab your copy of Teaching from the Heart. I cannot wait for you to dig into the pages and explore all that you're going to find inside. Until next time. Until we meet again, thank you. Thank you for joining me today, and I wish you well along life's journey, and I'll look forward to spending time with you in the next episode.